You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. All right, so today is episode 95.
No long intro.
95, that's like 95 theses. We have done 95 theses. This is the year of the Reformation. Next year, exactly. Exactly. Some guy nailed something to a door in Germany.
Yes.
And here we are.
So. Yeah, and we are on episode 95. And the reason this is historic, other than the 95 theses.
You didn't even think about 95 theses, did you?
No, I'm not as well-versed as you.
You're so alliance. You know, Christian and Missionary Alliance. You know,
yes.
They're Protestants too, just
yeah,
so you know.
Yeah, they are.
All right.
So on episode 99 and 100, we are going to do something special.
Ooh.
We are going to give away over $100 worth of swag.
Wow.
To whoever's question we answer on episode 99 and 100.
I didn't even know that. So you don't even tell me these things. You just come in giving free stuff away.
You probably don't even want to know this
stuff. What is it good stuff? Is it good
stuff? Yeah, I mean, it's our book, right?
That's
a few other
awesome.
Books. Our Bluetooth New Churches speaker, some other New Churches related swag. So it's going to be good. So get your questions in at newchurches.com.
Well, shouldn't they like not get their questions in? Because if they want to be 99 and 100, everyone's going to be like, I don't want to submit a question right now.
The more questions we get, the better. So
yeah,
submit
you
your questions in. If you're on your mobile device, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches.
You sound like a commercial. If you're on your mobile device or your iPhone is what we call it.
Yeah, for the majority of people.
Yeah. For all civilized humans.
And
now we're
going to
hear from all the Android people.
Yes. And if you are on your, at least we're not mentioning BlackBerry because they're.
Do people still do that? I think like the government still does BlackBerry. I think they just quit.
Well, you know, the reason they're still alive is because they're actually pretty popular in other countries in the world.
Yes. And they're, I think the government till just recently had to use BlackBerry. So I think President Obama used a BlackBerry. And they're made in Canada too. Right.
Yeah,
isn't that a Canadian company?
Yeah,
your people. Your people.
Yes.
Oh, Canada.
I've actually been trying to remind my kids that that is their national anthem.
Do you really? Do you?
But they kind of roll their eyes at me now.
Yeah. They have been sucked into America.
They're like, I pledge allegiance to them.
Do they really? Do they know that that My Country Tis of Thee is to the tune of God Save the Queen?
They don't know that.
My country. All right. Let's sing Oh Canada together. Ready?
No.
Oh,
let's not do that.
Canada. My wife's Canadian. We have to. My daughters are Canadian. Anyway.
You do know the second national anthem of Canada, right?
I don't. What is it? You have two national anthems.
The Hockey Night in Canada theme.
The what?
The Hockey Night in Canada theme.
No, that's okay. That doesn't count as a national anthem.
Oh, trust me. When CBC changed it to the other, when they lost their contract, their rights to that, I mean, that was pretty much up
really?
For Canada.
Wow.
Yes.
Listen, all I got to say is Blackhawks are going all the way this year for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Now that I live in Chicago. But anyway,
like
we got to do this. We got to do this interview.
Yes. So today's question, all questions aside, other than getting your voicemail in, on the mobile device.
On
if you're on your desktop.
On your mobile device.
If you're on your desktop, go to newchurches.com and you can click the sidebar on the right that says send voicemail. So today's question is from Adam Holland. So let's listen in.
Where do we know? Where's Adam from?
Adam, we will see.
You gotta tell these things.
Could you give advice for fundraising for church plants?
All right. So we are on this, this role of uber short questions. A few questions that I've had
that
with Todd
was like 6 seconds.
And what I think is happening is we've had some people submit the longest questions and we've had comment about that. And we now have people submitting the shortest ones.
Now, I think we're overcompensating because of it. So listen, I've looked up Adam Holland and, and according to this, he lives in Brooklyn, but that accent was not a Brooklyn accent. So I think Adam is somewhere in the American South.
Well, remember a few episodes ago, we had that, there was another guy who submitted a question and you looked him up, and there's like one guy in Alaska, another guy in the rural South.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. We got him all over the place. And of course, Saskatoon. We have a disproportionate number of fans. We're kind of big in Saskatoon.
Yes,
we're kind of big in Saskatoon. So
Adam's question is giving advice, if we can give advice on fundraising for church plants.
All right, let's lock and load. Let's jump in. All right, so a couple of things. First, there's different stages of this process. So let's address some of the stages. So early on, you want to develop a prospectus that casts a compelling vision that sort of, and we have examples of this, I think, at newchurches.com, don't we? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to develop a prospectus that kind of casts a compelling vision, and you want to approach people. Now, I'm of the view that with some circumstances, if you've been a missionary in Ethiopia for 10 years, you don't know anybody. I get that. Mm-hmm. But for most of us, if you can't raise funds, you probably can't raise up a church because you got to have some ability to attract people to a vision for something that does not yet exist.
Which is why receiving funding wise, many denominations say, hey, you need to be able to raise this amount first and then we'll match it.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of it is they want to be able to have that as part of that.
And I like
process.
That. I like denominations that sort of, one denomination said, you got to raise 25%. Then the local church matches 25%. So they got skin in the game. Then the district matches 25%. They got skin in the game. And then finally the national.
Yes.
So everyone's got 25%. But I think that's key that you have, kind of that fun initial fundraising that's there. Now, let me say first, too, that I like Bill Dylan's People Raising, which kind of talks about some of these things. And so I'll mention Bill's resource. We'll put it in the show notes. But let me go back to this. So at its simplest, because this is a podcast, we're not going to get all the complexities. We write about this in Planning Missional Churches,
too. Yeah, we do have a chapter in there.
Which is Planning Missional Churches, Volume 7 or something. What was it? Edition 4? I don't even know.
I think to you it's 4.
Yeah.
But to everyone else, it's 2.
It's 2. I've written this book a lot of times. Anyway.
By the end of it, I think you're like,
haven't I written this before? you wrote like, what percentage of the new book is updated?
I mean, it's about 40-50% new.
40-50% new. Okay.
Yeah, so.
And you did all that work. Let's just be honest.
Well,
I'm humble.
It was fun.
I understand. But anyway, back to focus. So first, prospectus that casts a compelling vision, and then you approach as many people as you can. Now, first, you should approach your personal church contacts, people at churches, pastors primarily, but might be key lay leaders and others who might be supportive. Second, you should, if you're in a denomination, we don't know if he's in denomination or not, but if you're in a denomination, you should find out the partnerships that are in your denomination. And if you have a district or an association, adjudicatory, you should approach people in that district, the local one. Say, well, we want you to be involved. Also, too, they need to know what's going on. Not all you'll ask for money, but at least they need to know.
Yeah.
Then you need to ask, are there other partnerships? For example, when I was planting a church in Buffalo, my denomination had an association in Georgia that was a partner with Buffalo. So I went down there and I literally walked into the office, the association office, which is like a district, and I called every church in that association from the district office so they could see, I'm calling from the district office. Now they'd see it on caller ID. And I asked them to be partners with us. And so I think the first thing is to have your prospectus approach as many people as you can in the church world.
Yeah.
Second, in the personal world. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is intimidating to a lot of people, but you got to remember there are tens of thousands of Campus Crusade for Christ missionaries, crew missionaries around the world right now who have raised all of their support and continue to raise all their support. Well, how? Through relationships.
Yep.
Again, people raising. Bill Dylan talks a lot about that. So through relationships. So I would sit down and ask people. Now, in all of these cases, I want to have a step down pathway to self-sufficiency that's reasonable and realistic. I don't want to be going to Boston and say, in a year, I'm going to be fully self-supporting. But I want to say that I want to step down. Now, if you can, when you have a conversation with these people, if you can say to them, somebody else has endorsed me. Okay, so when I planted my first church, my denomination turned me down to be a church planter. Now, to be fair, I was 21 years of age, didn't know much about church planting. I would have probably turned me down. But so what I did is I applied through another program. It's called Mission Service Corps in my denomination. But basically, my denomination, in a sense, gave me a stamp of approval, but no money. That stamp of approval was worth a lot of money because then I could call up and say, listen, you don't know me, but I've been approved to go plant a church by the North American Mission Board, through the Mission Service Corps program, et cetera, et cetera. So have that. Now, maybe you're not a denomination, but if you're an ARC church planner, you've gone through the ARC process, you got Surratt, Greg Surratt's, a letter of recommendation. Those go a long way.
Yeah.
All right. So now you got your prospectus. You've approached church people. You spoke to individual people. You've got some credibility from somewhere along, along this conversation. Someone has helped you with some credibility. Now, I think ultimately you've got to, you've got a step down plan. Could be 2, 3, 5 years. I wouldn't go generally longer than 5 years because if it takes longer than 5 years to be self-sufficient, you probably just need to go bivocationally so that doesn't become a long-term issue. But then at that point, I think it's an ongoing keeping up the relationship with your donors. So for example, I support several church planners and I'm always impressed lately that I get a monthly newsletter from them and I actually read it and I pray for them and And I think that's important. So that's kind of, I mean, in a nutshell, you might want to add some, but in a nutshell, that's how I would look at. Again, we give much more information in Planting Missional Churches. I've also recommended People Raising by Bill Dillon.
Yeah, that's good. Let me fill in a few gaps there. I'll go reverse wise. So talking about self-sufficiency, in our stated church planting research, which you can get for free at newchurches.com, we did actually discover amongst the churches we surveyed that if you're not going to hit self-sufficiency by year five, it becomes increasingly difficult statistically to get there. So not only is it good for, not only do other of your donors and supporters want you to reach self-sufficiency, that's actually healthy for your church. Even when it comes to you wanting to multiply as a church as well, for you guys to have that vision, that actually also helps you reach self-sustainability as well. So it's good in many respects.
Yeah, it's a good word. So I would encourage people to not be embarrassed. I think one of the hard things is in fundraising is it's hard for people to ask, right? And so what I would say is kind of get over that, because, you know, I've raised my own support or someone else's support, I think, 3 times. And I even go back to people sometimes because I want them to have the opportunity to be blessed. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that flippantly. I mean, I don't ask people who are on their last dime. But I think by asking people, I mean, they can give and they don't have to if they don't want to, but, these conversations are hardly ever awkward because people, you know, they know what you're doing. They're now here. What I would say is I get a little bit irritated by the bait and switch. People sometimes, you know, well, I'd like to sit down and talk, you get your advice. No, you don't. You want to talk to me, get some money. So anyone who comes to me and says, I'm talking to you, get your advice, and ends up asking me for money, I tell them, here's my advice. Don't lie to me next time you come to talk to me. But just say, I want to share a little bit what we're doing, see if you like it, and get involved in the church plant. That's what I generally say to people. And you can get involved financially. You can get involved other ways. There are labor intensive ways you can get involved. And I just ask them to be involved that way.
Yeah. And I love that paradigm there. You know, you're not necessarily inviting people only to get involved financially. You know, you want people to support you. You want people to get involved. And whether that is financially or through prayer or, you know, through volunteer service, I mean, those are all valuable ways. So when you do approach someone, ask them to support you and ask them to pray about it. Give them a timeline to say, hey, I'll check. Is it okay for me to check back with
That's
you?
That's great.
In a week?
Always check back.
Yeah. But also, make the ask, right? Say, yes, always, will you support, but actually make the ask. The other thing that's important for you to do as well is not only to pray before you go and meet them, but also don't judge people and think, hey, I think this person has a lot of money and I don't think, so I'm going to go and meet with them versus I don't think that person has a lot of money, so I'm not going to meet with them. Because you'd be surprised. When I personally support raised, the people who I thought would give the most oftentimes gave the least. And the people I thought I was just going to ask for prayer, they're the ones who gave me hundreds of dollars.
Interesting. I actually think I may disagree with that a little bit. And I think it's okay for us to do that. There are people of yeah, and I think somewhat I disagree. Okay, so agree with you, you'd be surprised. But I also recognize that there's some people of means that I actually have asked for a large amount of money.
Yeah.
And so I'll actually say to them, I can say to one person, I said, listen, I'd like to ask you to give $20,000 the first year and $10,000 second year. Now, I don't want to insult you. If you can give more than that, I'm okay. Yeah. I don't insult you by only asking for $20,000 a year. And I could say probably a third, maybe a quarter of people I've done that over the years have said yes, but I would never ask, you know, a neighbor, a friend, a family member for $20,000.
Yeah, and that's probably the difference there, because I was asking people for hundreds and thousands, not $20,000.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, in that case, it was actually for a team I was on too. So it's I will tell you, it's a lot easier to ask for money when it's not directly your salary, oddly enough. And so I was putting a team together and I just asked. And so, yeah, so totally. Now that I lead the Billy Graham Center, I actually ask people for a lot of money sometimes. So yeah, I've sat down with people just in the last few months and said, listen, would you give it $1.5 million?
Yeah.
And they didn't. They actually gave about half that. And I was okay with
that. That's awesome. Yeah.
In hindsight, I should have asked for $3 million.
So just to finish off, I mean, I love what our friends at the Church Multiplication Network are doing, the Assemblies of God, especially when it comes to how they are approaching matching funds.
Yeah.
Now, the neat thing is that when a planter raises their funds, funds, the Church Multiplication Network, they don't give funds to the planter. They give funds to the mother church. And it's the mother church who then, in order to, so that the mother church's relationship with the planter strengthens for them to be able to be that accountability. And so not only do I love that, but I also love the fact that if a church plants a church, that then plants a church. So if they granddaughter a church, they're then forgiven the loan.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? Yeah. And everyone's got skin in the game. That's a key thing in this. And again, that's not really his question, but in Adam's question. But in for us, we want all parts of the church planning process to have skin in the game, because then, I mean, too many churches are like, well, I mean, if the national support the planner, I'll be fine with that. Well, yeah. That's not what we want. We want all entities to say, we are excited about this church planner.
So thanks again for listening in. I hope that was helpful. Be sure to get your questions in for episode 99
episode
and 100.
Episode 99 and 100, where you will get stuff. Is it like when you say like $100, is it like really $100? Are you like making that stuff up? I know, but you're going to give
it. It is actually worth.
So it's not like really garbagey stuff that you say retail value $100.
And if you buy now, I'll give you another.
It's Ginsu knife.
Yeah, and the knife cuts through aluminum cans.
All right, so it's really worth $100. And all right, so 99 and 100 coming up.